Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
Bears thoughts flying around. It's time to ask Michael Wilbon how he's thinking about all this. He's brought to you by Waddles Guy.
That's right. Mike, brought to you by HawkAuto.com. Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW all in one place. HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
All right, Michael, you watched the press conference. Everyone's good. What'd you think of what happened yesterday?
Not much. It's about what I expected, you know. I said to you guys, I think, a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you know, thankfully, we're not. But we're not Philly, New York, Boston. We're not going to scream bloody murder. That's just not who we are culturally. There's nothing about our civic existence that really says that. So the Bears don't feel the pressure that the Giants do or that, you know, some other teams do. And they don't put that kind of pressure in terms of front office on the team, on the people under their employ. So this is about what I expected. You know, we'll tee it up again. We'll go with the same group. You know, we'll hope it gets better. And, you know, do I have any great expectations that it'll get better? No, I don't.
What is the rest of the football universe? People, you're all around the United States, and you talk to people about your favorite football team. What do people say about our Bears these days?
Well, if I'm east where I live, you know, greater Washington and further east up and down the I-95 corridor, they say what I just said to you. They're, like, dumbstruck by the fact that, you know, a charter member of the league, founding member, doesn't have any more sense of urgency than this. That's what they're always struck by. And that's the difference culturally between the East and the Midwest. I don't know that, I mean, you know, patience is not in great supply in, you know, starting up in New England and all down I-95 past Washington. It just isn't. That's not the way people live. They want the results. They want it now or you can get out. And that's not what Chicago, Milwaukee, Detroit, you know, all the way up in I-94, that's not what we're about. That's not who we are. And so I, having that duality in my life, living in both places, have always understood the difference between the two. And they look at me and say, that's it? That's what McCaskey had to say? That's all? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, see you next year. We'll be right back there again.
We've been playing this one bite from Ted Phillips, and we had George McCaskey on, and I want to play this bite from Ted here in a second. But we had George on, and I tried to ask George every which way about why he has faith in a guy who's been presiding over the team for 21 years, and he keeps saying, well, he's not meddling in football, but he did admit that Ryan Pace reports to him and that Ted Phillips is George's number one advisor. And when it comes to hiring and firing the GM and coach, that the president is all in on this. Take a listen to what Ted Phillips said yesterday, summing up what the Bears have.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No. Everything else is there.
The hell does that mean?
It's just, this is what happens when your ass is not on fire. This is what happens. You can say anything. It doesn't matter what you say. I don't listen to these things anymore. When you are not on, when you don't walk in thinking you're going to lose your job, then you don't have to perform. That's what it means. It means he can come back with the same junk and the same excuses. Haven't gotten it totally right, the quarterback situation? You haven't gotten it right since Jim McMahon. What are you talking about? But nobody, like they don't hear that. They don't have to hear that. They don't hear that from their neighbors. They don't hear the dry cleaners. If they do, they hear it in a very nice form. That's who we are, in polite Midwesterners.
They don't have
people coming up to them in the local deli saying, you guys stink. You know, and you should get out of town. They don't have that.
Are you encouraging?
And again,
that?
No, I'm not.
No.
but then you got to live with it. I have to live with it too. Again, I know the difference between those two cultures.
It's just,
most people in Chicago don't. I do because I live in both places.
You know, it's interesting,
but
Mike.
This is what we're stuck with.
I would ask you, what was your feeling as you sat down to watch Bears and Saints before that game kicked off? How would you describe how you felt about your team and their chances?
I felt they had no chance.
And then,
they had no chance.
And then, Mike, you fast forward to the 2021 season where they've got very limited cap space and the 20th overall pick and they don't have their answer at quarterback. It's just like a perpetual feeling of, man, this just isn't going to go well for us, right?
Yeah, mine is a little bit more pointed than that. Mine is that management really doesn't care enough. They don't care enough. The Bears are a wildly successful brand. They don't have to win to make a ton of money. They don't. And most NFL teams, by the way, are like this. Most of, they don't have to make any money to turn the lights on. They've made money from the TV contracts. So they don't have to. And they can sit there, and if they like the person that's working for them, they can, you know, sit at the club and have drinks and talk about how good life is and how we'd like to be better, because if we could only get the quarterback situation right, then get it right, damn it. Nobody ever seems to say that. Then get it right. Then don't make the dumbest trade in the history of the team. Don't do that. But they're not going to hear that. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to hear it on the streets and in the, you know, posh environment of Lake Forest or anywhere else they visit. So this is what, you know, this is what we're stuck with.
And Michael, we get a lot of fans calling in saying no one should show up, no one should buy stuff. That could work mm-hmm. with the Bulls or with other teams with 82 games and 41 home games. It could work in baseball. But no one's staying away from only 8 regular season Bears game in this Bears town, right?
It doesn't work in any of them. I mean, people can say that stuff. People don't have any reason to hate the team. There's some teams in the NFL. I live primarily in a town where people hate the team, Washington, D.C., okay? People hate the team. And so they don't show up, and they don't buy stuff. And they've hated the team for at least 10 to 12 years now. So that can happen, but that's not going to happen in Chicago. And it's not going to happen with any of our teams. And so that's just not reasonable. I mean, I get up in another city a couple of times a year, particularly when my son wants to see the opposing team or the opposing quarterback, even though he's a Bears fan. And he says, Dad, we can we go see Tom Brady play against the Bears on Sunday tomorrow? And we're like, yeah, let me get some tickets and let's hop on a plane. And I know we're not for the most, and that was a 12-4 season, by the way. I mean, I know for the most part, It's entertainment. We understand it. It's tribal. You communicate and you commune with people like you who have a shared experience. I was just in at the Sneaky Big TV studios here in Arizona, and a young man who's a producer, Matthew, he was talking about growing up in Chicago and loving the teams, and he still has that. And he's not going to boycott. He's not. He loves his teams. He loves all of them. And we all feel the same way. And so they don't have to be accountable in the same way other franchises do. And they won't be.
It's just
so you can get lucky. You can get lucky and have a great team, but that's about what it takes.
You know, I asked George about the financial component to this because I've always been one that thought, you know, having an asset that's worth a couple of billion dollars certainly gives you some breathing room. But I asked him if he, you know, what he would say to fans who believe that they made the decision to stand pat, not fire guys, and that they're not motivated to win consistently because of the immense value of their asset. He said, you know, and I've heard him say it before, that if this was about money, we would have sold the team, cashed out, and all be living on our millions years ago. So, like, I don't know how to process all of the thought that the comfort that is provided by this asset being worth so much serves as a deterrent for wanting to win. You know what I'm
saying? I don't know that it serves as a – yeah, no, I hear you. And by the way, that is a great topic to broach and would be with a lot of different owners. No, that's not just comfort. There's pride in the Bears franchise, and there should be.
Right.
But don't tell me – I don't want to hear what you say. I want to see what you do. Mm-hmm. And when you keep these two around, it tells me there's not enough fire under them to make a change. You know, it's not because they don't have the money to spend. It's not that. It's that it is not uncomfortable enough for them to make the change. Whatever comfort means, and I don't mean money. I mean, you know, and I'm not suggesting this. I'm not suggesting people boo when somebody walks in a restaurant. I don't like living like that. I don't like seeing that. I don't like hearing those stories. But the bottom line is, it's pretty comfortable. And so they can continue to go down this road with those people and there's no penalty.
I think Sylvie and I agree on the following. I think that we both agree that Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace are really nice guys. And George McCaskey and ownership, they value the fact that they're really nice guys significantly more than what their resume says. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But that's part of what I'm saying. The fact that they value that more than the results, that's the problem. That's a big part of the problem. Because what are the consequences? There are no what are the consequences for the McCaskey family if the Bears don't win? There are no consequences.
You're right. No, that you hit it on the head.
That's
there.
True.
What would you say to Anthony Miller after he did what he did while the Bears were shorthanded at wide receiver?
Was it Wims who did it the first time with that same Saints player?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, Anthony Miller had the luxury of seeing it play out the first time, and it didn't work in the team's favor. I don't know. I'd probably cut him. I wouldn't say anything. I would say thank you for your services. This is what I mean. What are the consequences at Hallis Hall for anything? Let me ask you this. You think there would have been consequences if the coach was, if the GM was Bill Parcells?
Yes.
Okay. So he saw a teammate do this 2 months earlier, and he went and did it again?
Yeah, in a playoff game.
Yeah, right.
Hand in your playbook.
When they were down one of their receivers.
One score, yeah. Right? And they were at the point, it was nice having you. We're sure you'll catch on somewhere else. We're not having that.
Really quick, before we let you go, what is your thought on the Harden deal and what the heck is going on with Kyrie Irving?
Well, I tell you guys all the time when I say I wouldn't have Kyrie Irving on my team at any cost. If he said, I'll come and pay for $1 a month, I would say no. Don't want to have you. And so he's quit on this team. Harden is already quit on his team. All you got to do is listen to Boogie Cousins and John Wall and what they had to say the last 2 days. And they're dumbstruck by this. They're like, are you serious? You're getting paid $40 million a year and you can't bother to get in shape or come to work? I mean, I don't see the Nets doing anything because Harden's a quitter. He's quit before. He's quit now. And Kyrie Irving, you don't even know if he can show up. So is Kevin Durant going to be able to – I mean, he doesn't seem like a ride herd guy because Kevin Durant has been a total team – I'm playing every night I can, even if it's possible my leg might fall off, which it did. All right? Kevin Durant plays. He plays on the blacktop in the summer. He plays on the hardwood. He plays whatever he can play. And now he's surrounded by two dudes who don't want to play. It's not their priority to play. So it's going to be interesting to see how this figures out. I will likely root for Brooklyn to lose every single game they play the rest of the way.
Michael, great stuff. We will have longer next week. We appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, Mike.
And no, thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
There you go. There's Michael Wilbon. Usually Wednesdays at 5. We were shortened yesterday, so we put him on today. We talked to George McCaskey earlier, and we pressed him and pressed him and pressed him. Did we get the answers we were looking for? Find out next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we had George McCaskey on earlier today at about 3 o'clock. We had the press conference yesterday. And we had George on today. Lots of follow-ups about the structure of the organization. So this was at about 3 o'clock today. Waddle, me, and George McCaskey. George McCaskey taking time out of his schedule. He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline on Waddle and Sylvie. Hi, George. How you feeling?
Good, Sylvie. Hello, Waddle.
Hello,
hey,
George.
I know you both probably have plenty of questions for me.
We do.
But before we get too far into it, I just want to congratulate you, Sylvie, on your continued medical progress. I'm sure you've heard from a lot of people in the last several months who care about you and want the best for you. Got a lot of people rooting for you, including we at Hallis Hall. So keep it up.
And we appreciate that. My family does, my entire family. I appreciate that. George, let's get to the press conference. And universally on our radio station, on Twitter, through the media, locally and nationally, it's nearly been universal criticism over the press conference yesterday. Do you have regrets over the message and your decision?
No, we knew that we weren't going to please everybody. Maybe the minority would be in favor of the course of action that we took. We want to be responsive to the fans. We want to hear what they have to say. But in the end, we have to make the decision that we think is best for the Bears, and we think we did.
George, after the loss to the Saints on Sunday, were you ready to make changes? And was there something that Ryan or Matt or Ted or the three of them collectively said to you that led you to remain status quo?
No, Tom, it's an ongoing process. It's over the course of the entire season. And really, as we explained yesterday, we take the person's entire body of work, not one game, not even one season. Take the whole body of work and see if the relationship should continue. The result of the game Sunday didn't tilt us one way or the other. All it did was assure that we had not a 500 season, but a losing season.
So the outcome of the game against the Saints in the postseason played no role in any of the decisions that you ultimately, as the chairman, made?
Well, you want to see, of course, how we're doing, right, how we're playing, how we're executing the game plan, clock management, that kind of thing. So it's part of the consideration. But what I was trying to say is no one game,
right,
determined our course of action.
So going into that game, George, did you know, or was it based on the conversations you had with Ryan and Matt after that game?
Well, Ted and I had conversations all along with each other, and we communicate regularly with Ryan and Matt. So it's an ongoing process. But we wanted to make sure that we had a good conversation with both Ryan and Matt at the conclusion of the season before making a final decision.
We're talking to George McCaskey. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Look, I'm going to be straightforward to you, candid. I say things on the radio, and if I say them on the radio, I have to tell you when I have you on our show. The thing that I've been preaching, George, that I want to see as a diehard Bears fan is change at the top. Because to me as a Bears fan, 35 years without a Super Bowl, 10 years without a playoff win, you've lost 9 out of 10 to the Packers. You're 13-28 against the Packers since 2000. You've never had a star at quarterback, and you've only had 7 playoff appearances since Coach Ditka was fired. To me, it goes above Ryan and Matt. Have you thought about a football president and moving Ted off to the side? He's had 21 years. George, why don't you change things at the top?
In our structure, the general manager is the football guy. So I know different structures work for different organizations. We think we have the right structure, and we think we have the right people in that structure. I tried to explain yesterday that this notion that Ted meddles in football affairs simply isn't true. Yes, Ryan reports to Ted in our structure, but Ryan, the general manager, is the football guy.
One thing about that, and I've never accused Ted of meddling, but like what you just said, that you and Ted, the decision-making process was ongoing. Like, why is Ted involved? He's had 21 years. You've not won a Super Bowl. You've been to one. You're a big Chicago sports fan. Things didn't change with the Blackhawks until Rocky changed the structure. Things didn't change with the Cubs until they changed the structure with Tom Ricketts. Why are you apprehensive to move Ted off to the side and to let someone else be your president?
Well, I think in both the case of the Blackhawks and the Cubs, it wasn't so much the structure as the people they brought in. And I don't know all of the intricacies of the situation, but I think in the Cubs case, they did what they needed to do to get Theo Epstein to come aboard. And it worked out great. I mean, I'm a Cubs fan. I was thrilled with the result, but I don't think it was so much the structure as the people within the structure.
Were you thinking at all about putting in a call to Theo to at least advise you?
No.
Why not?
Well, we thought we had good advice from people we trust. I've met him once. I can't say that I really know him. Have probably a far better relationship with Tom Ricketts than anybody else at the Cubs. So we felt good about the people that we conferred with when we made our decision.
George, what do you say to the fans who call us and some believe that you made the decision that you made this time to save money, or that you're not motivated to consistently win because the value of your asset, the organization, is so high that there is no incentive to win year to year? What do you say to those fans that think money is a huge motivating factor for the decisions being made?
Well, I've said many times, maybe on your show, that if it were all about the money for our family, we would have sold a long time ago. We're in this because we're committed. We want to preserve and advance the legacy of George Halas, and we think we're uniquely qualified to do so. I was asked the question directly yesterday, was money a factor in our decisions? And I said it had no impact whatsoever.
You know, you mentioned people rooting for me up there. I got a call from Matt Nagy. I like Matt personally. I think Ryan Pace is a nice guy. Waddle and I have been wondering, though, are you blinded by the fact that Matt and Ryan are good guys and you're not judging their football missteps?
Well, first of all, I agree with you wholeheartedly. They are good guys. But in the end, winning is what matters, and that's what we're focused on. And we need people that are going to bring wins to the Chicago Bears. So, yeah, they're nice guys, but that's not really part of the analysis.
Hey, George, on that topic, Ted said yesterday in the press conference, he said that, yes, you guys have not gotten the quarterback position right and you haven't won enough games. And we all know that those are two of the most important criteria for winning and being a winning franchise. When the president of football ops makes that admission, does that not lead to some desire to create some change within the hierarchy of the organization when not getting the most important position correct and not winning enough games are two admissions?
Well, I got to offer a mild correction. Ted is not the president of football ops. Ted is the president and CEO. And to get back to Sylvie's question of a little bit back, you know, if you talk about bringing in a quote unquote football guy, at some point, somebody has to make the decision to bring that person in. And even if you argue that that whoever that person is or whoever that group of people are not football people, you know, again, it's just a question of where in the structure the football person comes. In our structure, it's the general manager. Ted oversees Ryan's performance, but he also oversees the business operation of the Bears. That's, I would say, fairly common. You see different structures, variations on the theme in other organizations, but we feel this is the proper structure for us.
George, I would ask you then, who would then make the decision if you come to the end of the road with Ryan and you decide that he's not the guy to take you to the next level? Who makes that decision then if Ryan's in charge of all football operations?
The decision to hire or fire the general manager and the head coach is made by the president and CEO and chairman. in consultation with ownership and the board of directors.
And that's just why I keep, and that's why I'm frustrated. I, someone who's held that position for 21 years, Ted's been in those interviews, hiring and firing guys for 21 years. For 21 years, you said winning is the ultimate characteristic you're looking for. Don't you believe that you haven't won enough over under the leadership of Ted Phillips?
I think we haven't won enough under the leadership of George McCaskey, and that's what we're working on to get better.
As far as finding the quarterback, George, the list that Ryan Pace has acquired, it's Brian Hoyer, Matt Barkley, Mitch Trubisky, Mark Sanchez, Mike Glennon, Chase Daniel, Tyler Bray, and Nick Foles. When I read you those names, why do you believe Ryan Pace is going to find your forever quarterback?
Hold on a second. You were breaking up there a little bit, Mark, but I think you said with that lineup of names of quarterback.
Right. I said, why do you believe Ryan Pace is going to get this right?
Well, we think he's grown in the job. Yes, there have been mistakes along the way, but everybody makes mistakes. If I could offer by way of analogy, your broadcast partner, Tom Waddle, when he got into the profession he's in now, I think he would be the first to tell you he struggled, but he got better.
Still I am.
And the people that brought him on had faith in him and stuck with him. And now the guy's a pro's pro. I don't know if he's still flying out to the coast on a regular basis, but he's got exposure on various platforms. And the guy's an absolute stud. And part of the reason for that is his ability. Part of the reason for that is his work ethic. And a small part of that is that the people that brought him in stuck with him.
George, I appreciate the kind words. And before we let you go, and I know we don't have you for long, I just wanted to ask you, because it's a question that is always important, and I'm being serious, do the losses to Green Bay still sting more than the other losses?
Always. Go Rams. But it's not just the rivalry going back 100 years. And I've talked to Ryan and Matt about this. It's not just that I have had a strong dislike for the team up north since I was a little kid, but how you do in your division largely determines the success of your season. And I would say, by and large, year in and year out, going back to when you were playing, Tom, the Packers have been the primary obstacle to success. So we've got to do better against them. Sylvie gave us the depressing numbers. We've got to improve that in order to get where we want to go.
George, really quick, the culture that you guys hit on, I understand that, like what you're looking for, but you had two wide receivers do the same thing to the same player against the same team in different games. Doesn't that speak poorly to the culture?
I think each of those situations needs to be evaluated separately. You're talking about Javon Wims against the Saints in the regular season game at Soldier Field, and then Anthony Miller in the playoff game against the Saints down in New Orleans. In the first instance, Javon acted impulsively. He let another player get the better of him, and he acted out. He was immediately remorseful. He served a suspension. He said he would do better. And he came back and worked his butt off to try to help the team. I have a bigger problem with Anthony's ejection, because they sat him down and they told him, listen, watch out for this player. He's a punk. He's going to try to get under your skin. And with Darnell Mooney out, we really need you to be in this game and help this team. And Anthony had the benefit of having seen Javon's experience. So I think they need to be evaluated separately. And I've got a bigger problem with Anthony's ejection than I do with Javon's.
Is his future in doubt because of that?
That's not up to me.
George, we appreciate your time. You've always been good with us, answering the questions that we have. You know how passionate Waddle is as a former player. I'm a passionate guy growing up here. So thank you for taking time.
Thanks, George.
Appreciate it both. Go Bears.
There you go, George McCaskey. We'll get Mark Jean Greco's thoughts on the interview, and I need to apologize to Marky, and that's next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Yeah, Mark Jean Greco was right. I'll say it right now, as he's brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Mark, yeah, I was wrong. I thought George got it. He doesn't, and you were right. I was wrong.
Well, thank you very much. It's pretty obvious, Sylvie, and I totally agreed with you when we both pretty much tweeted at the same time that this was worse than we could ever have imagined.
Yeah.
It is more bizarre, more belligerent, more arrogant, more smug than I could ever have imagined. They just truly believe that fans are idiots and that they'll appease the media by just actually coming on to speak. They dug the hole deeper. George just repeated what he said yesterday and made himself look even worse. And first and foremost, where the hell does he get off drawing this false, bizarre analogy that Waddle struggled in the radio and TV business after his playing days? What? The guy was a natural from day one, so that was ridiculous.
This is my agent, Mark.
If I could offer, by way of analogy, your broadcast partner, Tom Waddle, when he got into the profession he's in now, I think he would be the first to tell you he struggled.
Really?
I struggled, Mark. I'm still struggling.
I guess you did.
I'm still struggling.
I witnessed it all. You were horrible.
I'm still struggling.
Where is that coming from? Well, that's coming from a guy who still has Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and Ted Phillips. That's where it's coming from. It's a whole bizarro alternate universe. And it's still insulting is the word I keep going back to. Like, who's going to buy this crap? This is ridiculous. It's a clown show. And in meanwhile, you got the Jaguars collaborating to hire Urban Meyer. You have the Packers collaborating to make another Super Bowl run. They don't have a quarterback.
Yeah,
they've got nothing.
You guys were both right. They should have just issued a press release and then not even talked.
I never thought I would say it, but yesterday I said, you know what, we would have ripped you for this too, but it wouldn't have lasted this long. Bunker in. Don't say anything.
Yeah, because everything they said made you feel worse about everything.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
Ted's statement is going to be, it will live on in infamy, won't it?
Absolutely. You're going to play that as a drop forever.
Forever.
Next to La Russa going, I'm excited.
It will go into the audio vault right next to Trestman saying, we're going to have a team that is selfish and undisciplined.
That's right. Instead of being off to Jupiter, it's going to circle the Earth in an endless rotation. It's going to be around forever. But you know what? They can assume that fans are idiots, and they can just assume that everything's going to be okay because it is. Again, we go back to the TV money. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to win. And, you know, you hear fans so frustrated saying, oh, we're going to boycott. We're not going to go to the game. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. And you can't boycott because you're obsessed with the Bears and the NFL. And you need it. It's part of our culture.
Again,
it's your escape. So they have us by the cojones.
Yes, I don't think it's money. I really don't. I'll never believe. I think it's more than anything. It's a comfort level that George has, obviously, with Ted. And they like. I told you guys on Monday, my biggest concern when it came to whether or not there was going to be necessary changes, that I think George really likes these guys.
Right.
And obviously
it's too uncomfortable for him.
You've got to be able to address both issues.
Right.
You can like
them. I asked him that directly.
I know.
But hey, look, it's all for one for all, and all full of crap. That's exactly what it is.
That's good. Did you see someone added this to his Wikipedia page? Someone in a hat tip to someone in the Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago, someone alerted me to it. The last line of his Wikipedia profile says he's a known huge proponent of collaboration during the 2020 end of season press conference. He stated, "I am most impressed with how they collaborate."
Nice. Yeah, did you see the helmet, the Bears helmet with the C on it for collaborating? You know, they spelled it out, wrapped around the helmet. Yeah, you know, it's all funny, and we can just keep taking shots at them all day long. But it is really disturbing and pathetic that this is just going to go on like this. Because you're right, Tom. He's comfortable with these guys, and they have their own little kingdom up there, and everything's nice. They have nice little offices. They have a state-of-the-art facility. Everything's just nice. We're not going to upset everything.
I said earlier, we all need to find somebody that cares as much about us as George cares about Ted.
Yeah. Well, that'd be great.
You know what I mean?
You know, everybody needs somebody sometime.
Did they make a deal with the devil when he got the stadium deal done? That's what I said to Waddle. That, because do you remember back then, Mark, when he took over from Mike McCaskey and no one at City Hall liked Michael? They didn't want to deal with him. Remember, they were looking at Gary. They were looking at Schomburg.
Remember, Mayor Daley was going to bring in an AFC team?
Right. They were
going to have a two-team city.
They fought and fought, and Ted went in there, and he got a stadium deal done. And I believe, even though it's not a good stadium, and it's not a good stadium deal because they don't even own it, they lease it, that since they got a new stadium, I believe he has a job for life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he's just attached himself to the McCaskey family.
Well, why not just reassign him to only business issues? And you could give him a raise.
We've been yelling that forever. Hey, they do have a state-of-the-art facility. He did get the stadium thing going. Okay, you just do that.
Right.
You don't know anything about football.
That's the other thing about the money concept here, and it's all just about money. They spent $100 million building onto their facility. It's a fantastic thing, and I think it's great for their organization. And George even said to me when we asked the question, if this was only about money, we would have sold the team years ago.
Yeah, and forget about the pandemic situation right now. You have the city of Chicago as your backdrop and all that it offers, and a state-of-the-art facility, and nobody wants to play here still. Because situation is always in flux, and they don't trust management.
People will take their
money. Robert Quinn decided he wanted to play in Chicago.
Yeah, got bust outs taking advantage of these people that don't know what they're doing.
I had I have a current NFL player who has texted me, and he wants to say hi to both of you guys. I'll tell you who that is when we return. Mark Giangreco, brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by our guys at the Home Loan Expert. Start the new year off right and get pre-approved for your new home purchase by visiting thehomeloanexpert.com.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
So Robbie Gold texted a little bit earlier. He's back in town, and he was driving his kids to the dentist.
Just got a new contract extension, right?
Did he get another one?
I thought he got a new deal, well-deserved.
That's amazing. That's so great.
So he was listening to the show. He said, say hi to Waddle, say hi to Marky.
Awesome.
And he's back in town taking the kids to the dentist.
You know, as great as Cairo Santos has been, and he's been terrific, the whole world misses Robbie here. They do. And he's been so great for that franchise out in San Francisco.
I think I'm right. Did you guys, is that correct? Didn't Robbie sign a contract extension with the 49ers in the last week or so of the season? I thought he did.
I know last time around, I think it was a 3-year deal worth $5 million a year. So he got another 3-year deal on top of that.
Go get that money.
Oh, it's awesome.
He's 16 years in the league, I think.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome. He's 38 years old. Keep kicking, baby. Keep kicking.
It's my idol.
2-year extension on the 30th.
2 years. Okay, 2 years. There you go. Congrats.
Yeah, that was lost in my New Year's haze.
$3.5 million for each of the next 2 years?
I think it was good change.
Just keep socking it away.
Pay for those kids' braces if that's where they're at.
That's right. Those aren't covered by dental insurance, even if you have advanced dental insurance.
Oh, I know.
I'm lucky to get a cleaning covered, right?
Yeah.
These days. That's all.
Speaking of which,
really
all my teeth are broken. I have all caps and. Bondo.
Are you a grinder? Yeah.
Of course, I'm a grinder.
Yes,
but I also had my face punched in a couple times. So
he's a grinder and had his face punched in.
Yeah, had my nose broken a couple times and four teeth, two of them on one punch.
Yeah,
I had no shot.
Yeah. So what else is going on? This is your last day for before the weekend. You've been doing the three-day weekend. So how do you feel about your team?
I'm scared to death. I'm really nervous. I'm hoping that it snows like hell in Buffalo. I think there's a 40% chance right now. Lamar Jackson's never played in a lot of snow. They have no pass rush, and that's what's scaring the hell out of me.
I'd be concerned with your team's ability to slow down the running game in general.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because as we were going back and forth this weekend on our little text chain, we were all lamenting their inability to get to Phillip Rivers or stop the Colts. Boy, they tackled like crap.
Yeah, Taylor gashed them, and second level poor tackling. Linebackers and DBs were awful. So I hope Sean McDermott has addressed that. And I'm worried. And we were trying to get a bunch of Bills fans together to sit outside with heaters and watch the game, but it's going to be dark and freezing.
Bills fans with heaters? Whoa.
I guess we softened up a little bit. You know what we should
do? Jumped on a table?
All you need are Bills fans and tables. Yeah, you don't need a heater.
Light the table on fire.
I'm a little cold. Someone put me through a table.
That's where I was going, Chris. We light the table on fire and then jump from an SUV onto it. That would be good. And then you just stand there and eat a bunch of wings while your clothes are on fire.
Were wings really, like, growing up, that was...
Yes.
Okay. I just didn't know how... Listen, absolutely. I get it. Sometimes, the reality isn't really what's...
No. Frank and Teresa's Anchor Bar.
Okay.
Which is the second place I used my fake ID and got served at age 16. They invented wings.
What do they think of boneless wings?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they don't want to have the conversation.
And then there's another place called Duff's, and they claim that they were right there with the Anchor Bar.
Isn't that the bar in The Simpsons, Duff's?
Yes, I think so.
No, that's Duff's Beer.
There's a big thing. Like, what is it? Pat and Gino's cheesesteak in Philly. They're right across the street from one another. They argue who's the best. Well, that's the big argument in Buffalo. Is it Anchor Bar or Duff's?
Well, who is?
I say Anchor Bar because they were first. But Duff's are great, too. And the only two authentic wings places in Chicago that I have sampled, Yahtzee's across the street from Wrigley and Buffalo Joe's.
Really?
Those are the closest to being real. And it all started
like really hot and mild?
They have mild, medium, suicidal. Suicide are the ones. You got to come ready.
Yeah. And you might as well just eat them sitting on the toilet.
You know the story. They were having some big event, and they ran out of hors d'oeuvres and snacks. And so the cook is just like, well, we got a bunch of chickens back there. Let's just cut off the wings, and we'll just fry them up.
That was the origination
of stuff on there. Yeah. And then I saw the other day, some guy got a Bill's tattoo on his forearm. It's the charging buffalo with the streak through it. It's the logo.
Yeah.
But it's actually, the buffalo is a chicken wing, and there's a stalk of celery as the streak going in with blue cheese coming out of it. I thought it was a brain.
He's a judge, right, in Buffalo, right?
Yeah. He's the mayor, actually. Yeah. No, I thought it was a brain being stabbed by a knife when I first looked at it.
Oh, well, of course you would.
This is gross.
Of course you would, yes.
And it's oozing pus. Oh, no, wait a minute. It's a chicken wing with a celery stalk. It was very creative.
Really quick, we have an NBA coming up, an NBA game coming up. Are all Hawks games going to be like last night, or was that because of a short training camp and that Tampa's really good?
You know, this is a shortened season. It's going to seem like a really long one for the Hawks. They have no goaltending. They have absolutely zero D. And with their captain now on long-term IR, that's just going to continue on. You don't have the leadership, although I'm counting on Kaner wearing the A. And they gave Connor Murphy an A also, along with Duncan Keith.
Along with two more years on the contract to Jeremy Colliton.
But, they got nothing. You got no Kirby Doc. Forget it. They got nothing. This is going to be painful.
Is it?
All right.
Yeah.
Mark, you have a great weekend. Good luck to your Bills.
Yes.
Thanks,
Bills.
Guys.
Thank you to Mark Jean Greco, brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Check them out at thehomeloanexpert.com. Thank you to George McCaskey, Louis Riddick, and Michael Wilbon. We've got Rockets and Spurs coming up next. Thanks to Chris Black and also Adam Abdallah. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Thursday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
thank you to all and to all a good night.